Will you pray for me? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Beaten, unconscious, mocked by crowds, imprisoned by the government, underestimated by nearly everybody, and a savior to millions, perhaps one day to you. And as if all that weren't enough, also a mother, forced to give up her children when her husband divorced her for being too hard to control. Also a scientist, routinely denied access to funds and jobs because of the tribe she had been born into. Also the first East African woman to earn a PhD. Also the first African woman to win a Nobel Peace Prize. Also a Christian. If you don't know who she is, you should, because she's saving the world. Her name is Wangari Maathai, and here's her story. She was born in Kenya in 1940. Educated through high school there in Kenya, she eventually came to college in the United States. At the University of Pittsburgh, there to earn a master's in biology, she first came into contact with a rare and unusual breed of people, environmentalists. They were there working to control air pollution in that city and restore the clean air there, and they gave her the bug. She began to reflect on the environmental degradation she had been witnessing in her own country and the ways in which humans were responsible for it. Among the worst problems in Kenya then and now was desertification. Desertification means this: death overwhelming life. Almost always, as in Kenya, the result of human action such as deforestation and unwise farming or building practices, desertification is just what it sounds like. It's the desert taking over. Water sources dry up, sand dunes travel and cover not only arable land but entire cities as well. Biodiversity plummets. What was once at least marginal land becomes uninhabitable. Death gains the victory. For a sense of just how powerful this process of desertification can be, consider this. Just last week, Chinese scientists announced the discovery of an extra 180 miles of the Great Wall of China. The scientists had no idea these sections of the wall existed because they had long been buried by sandstorms, the result of erosion caused by destructive farming techniques. 180 miles of one of the greatest works of human hands had been so thoroughly buried, so thoroughly obliterated, that nobody even knew it was there. And for every inch of the wall covered, only God knows how much livable land was lost as well. Death and the desert won. But back to Kenya. Wangari Maathai returned there and began to work in university and government posts. She saw what people with eyes to see always see about environmental degradation, that the desertification that was taking over Kenya was disproportionately affecting the poor, the marginalized, and most especially the women, who were the farmers and the gatherers of wood. Women were being condemned to live lives of drudgery and servitude, trying to scratch a living out of ever more sandy soil, walking ever further to get wood to cook the meals for their families. Meanwhile, their children were choking on dust and slowly dying. Death was winning, and it was coming first to the women and the children. Wangari Maathai saw this. There were demons of sexism and poverty and desertification that needed to be cast out of Kenya. She saw this. Kenya needed to learn a new tongue, a new way of speaking to the world. She saw this. Kenya was sick and needed someone to lay their hands on it and heal it. And Maathai? Maathai knew about Jesus, knew what had happened with him, knew that those who work with him find themselves able to work miracles. So what did she do? She planted a nursery. She started a nursery and began giving trees to the women of Kenya to plant. And then she offered them a stipend for every indigenous seedling they raised from seed collected in the forest, and a stipend for every seedling that was passed on to another woman to plant. Before long, nurseries were common sights on family farms throughout the country. Women were forming collectives to exchange seeds and to raise seedlings. The men were learning from the women how to save the land, and great belts of thousands of trees each were stretching across the country, holding back the encroaching desert. The Green Belt Movement was begun. It has taken a lot of work and a lot of resistance from the men, especially the men in government. But since the 70s, 30,000 poor rural women have been educated in forestry and beekeeping and food processing and other trades that provide them a livelihood and one for their families as well. 30 million trees have been planted in Kenya alone. The green belts are no longer holding the desert at bay. They are now turning it back, pushing it back where it came from, reclaiming land and lives for greenness and for hope and for a sign to the world that life will have the victory here. Mathai received the Nobel Peace Prize for her work, not only the first African woman to receive it, but the first environmentalist to receive it as well. And the publicity has been enough to spread the Green Belt movement around the world. As the scripture says, they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. Jesus, having risen from the dead, having driven back the forces of arid death and sprung fresh and dewy back into the world, instructs the disciples to go out and preach the good news to all the creation. Not to every person, not to all the tribes or all the peoples. He says, go preach it to the entire creation, to everything and to everyone, to the trees and the soil and the wheat and to the desert. This news, life will win. Death will not have the victory for long. The desert may be able to cover the Great Wall of China, but it will not cover the people of God for long. If Jesus doesn't stay dead, then nothing will. For long. If Jesus doesn't stay dead, the Great Wall will not stay buried. If Jesus doesn't stay dead, the desert will not win. If Jesus doesn't stay dead, it will be poor, uneducated women that turn the desert back. Since we celebrated Earth Day this past Wednesday and Care of Creation Sunday today, I wanted to share with you one of my favorite poems. It's on the insert in your bulletin, the white piece of paper. You don't have to look at it right now. You can read it later. It's called Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front, which I'm pretty sure is the best name for a poem ever. In it, Barry, who is an author, a farmer, and a devout Christian, and who also wrote the text to one of today's anthems, in it, he tells the secret that the farmers and the Christians and the Greenbelt women know. Resurrection is not only something God does, it's something that, with the grace of God, the rest of us can and should do as well. He says that we should practice resurrection. Preach the good news to the whole creation, Jesus says, and on Earth Day, what he and Wendell Berry mean is this: plant things at the edge of the desert. Get on your knees in the dirt of the world and plant things. Stand at the line where death is advancing and do not let it come. Stand there for 100 years if you must, and if you cannot stand there for 100 years, plant something that can and tell the children to watch it. Preach the good news to the whole creation. If God's love was going to grow to overwhelm the earth, then even God needed to be planted, needed to go down into the ground for 3 days, needed to be covered over and closed up in the ground by tender hands. They thought they were burying him. Instead, they were planting him. And he took all the violence and all the fear and all the ignorance and all the humiliation and all the desert right down with him into the earth, where everything gets transformed so that he could rise like a green blade with power to drive the desert back. There are some among us here right now who understand about planting things, about practicing resurrection. Jim Hood and Diane Gosher, who are responsible for the award-winning flower gardens in front of Old South Church, have been germinating a new idea, an edible churchyard at Old South Church in Boston. The idea, pending the approval of the church's operations committee, is this: we will join in the growing movement of people who are reclaiming urban and suburban spaces for food production. We will reconnect ourselves to the earth from which all things, even God's love, spring. We will plant a vegetable garden at Old South Church in Boston. Organic, lovely, productive. The garden will contain rare and heirloom seeds whose planting will protect and increase the diversity of our food supply. It will be a witness to a city devoid of kitchen gardens and food production capacity, a witness to a desert of ignorance where people believe that their food is grown at Shaw's supermarket. It will be a witness that a connection to the source of our food matters and is holy, a connection to the dirt matters and is holy, and that food thoughtfully produced, responsibly tended, and faithfully distributed in a hungry world is a lot like resurrection. We will call it the Garden of Eden Edible Churchyard, but I say that it's a victory garden. For if it works as we hope it will, if it makes us and the city that will witness to it think more carefully about what kind of food we grow, if it makes us think more carefully about where our food comes from, if it makes us eager to plant things in our own yards that will turn back the forces of hunger and ignorance and separation from the land, it will be a victory over the desert, a victory over hunger, a victory over the forces that separate us from the land. And if that happens, then we will not just be preaching resurrection, we will be practicing it as well. Jesus went down into the ground bearing all the hurt that the world could give, and he came up in glory to drive back the desert, to be a green belt of hope for the poor women and the marginalized men, to be a garden of delight and sustenance for the world. And the message is this: wherever death is encroaching, stand on the front line and hold it back. Where the desert is advancing, stand there on the front line and plant trees. Where hunger is advancing, stand there on the front line and plant vegetables. And when the end is near, when it has gotten as bad as it will ever get, when it has all fallen completely apart and death is on the verge of winning forever, then stand right there and plant God. Practice resurrection. Amen.